Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation, the podcast for BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and on this edition, we'll have the latest news on how the business continues to respond to the coronavirus pandemic, and we'll have the winners of the Chairman's Gold Awards. Now, as with our recent podcasts, we're joining the conversation remotely, but I'm pleased to say on the line is Charles Woodburn, Chief Executive of BAE Systems. Charles, hello. Good to speak with you again.
Yeah, good to be here again, Tim.
Generally speaking, how would you say lockdown's been going for you?
Well, I'm very pleased to say that the last few weeks I've been able to get out around the business a little more. I know we'll talk about it more during the course of this podcast, but that has been a great pleasure just to get out and meet people, our people and our customers, and hear firsthand how things have been going. That combined with usual lockdown working, we've been through the IBP process, we've had Inc. board meeting, PLC board meetings, strategy sessions. It's been a very busy period for the business, and it will continue to be busy as we prepare for the close of the half year.
As you say, you've been able to get out a little bit more. Some of us are luckily experiencing some easing of the lockdown. There are, of course, ongoing impacts around the world. Just update us a bit more then on how the business continues to respond.
Well, I continue to be very impressed with how the business is responding. The incredible level of resilience and customer focus across all of our markets. And everyone I know is having to adapt to this situation and work in new ways. And that has, you know, given lots of examples of innovation and creativity across the business. And I've been very, very impressed with what I've seen. In many of our defense operations, the number of employees now working is above 90%, and in many cases above 95%. And that's a combination of people working from home, but also working at our sites with all of the protective safety measures that we've put in place. We're really gearing up now to getting back to full operational tempo. And, you know, I look back on these last few months with a great sense of pride in terms of the way that our teams have responded right across the group. And the very positive impact that we've had in supporting the fight against COVID-19. And through all of that, continue to deliver first-rate service for our customers. Of course, there's still more to do, and we will feel the impacts for some time. So we have to live with this and adapt to this. But I am absolutely convinced that everyone's collective efforts have put us in a good position to weather this terrible pandemic.
You talked, Charles, about being able to get onto sites and use your listening sessions to stay in touch with colleagues. Have you had the chance to see and indeed to talk to more people from across the business?
Yeah, well, for example, I went to RAF Coningsby a couple of weeks back now and very directly met the people that have been delivering QRA and Typhoon outputs for the RAF customer there, and heard firsthand from our customers just how important the work is that we've been doing and the great team effort between us and our customer to maintain a critical national security capability. I also had the pleasure of meeting with the base trade union representatives during that visit to Coningsby. And I was very pleased to hear the feedback from the trade unions that we've and get the opportunity to thank them directly for this very strong support that we've had throughout the pandemic. It really has been a team effort working closely with the trade unions to find the right way of getting people back and doing that as safely as possible. So while those opportunities to meet people and get around the business are still limited, I continue to hold regular video calls with groups of employees, obviously my management team, and I'm just very keen to make sure that we're listening, we're understanding the challenges. And, you know, a lot of common themes come out of that. We're trying to distill some thoughts as to the future ways of working, that in terms of adaptability, you know, people working from home and restoring our productivity under those conditions, I think there are some things that we want to take forward. And listening to our employees, I think there are things that our employees want to take forward in that. And I know there'll be much more on that to come.
Well, let's move on to the financial side of things then, Charles. BAE Systems has just issued a trading statement. Can you give us the headlines from that, please?
Well, yes, Tim. We updated the market ahead of the half-year results, which we'll obviously be sharing as usual at the end of July. And we felt it was important to put the trading statement out because at a time of so much uncertainty for so many businesses, it's important that we keep our shareholders updated as far as we can on the potential impacts of the pandemic on our operations and our finances. So we took the opportunity to remind the market and our shareholders that we continue to focus on a number of near-term priorities. I mean, first and foremost being protecting the well-being of our employees. Also, and secondly, meeting customer priorities, and then supporting our supply chains in dealing with the disruption, recognizing that the challenges are all the way through the supply chain, preserving and protecting our capabilities, and then ensuring that we maintain financial stability, you know, making sure that we have the cash that we need to drive the business forward. So we took the opportunity as part of that to highlight a number of activities that have progressed. We continue to deliver for our customers through these challenging times. And we've also completed the acquisition of the Airborne Tactical Radios business in May. And that'll be integrated into the electronic systems business in the US. So great pleasure to welcome those employees into the BAE Systems family. We said and explained that we've put a significant 1 billion additional payment top up into the UK pension schemes. And separately, we were very pleased to be able to say that we are going to proceed with recruiting 800 apprentices across the UK this year. And I think that is a very important announcement because, you know, young people will be, you know, disproportionately and very badly affected by this pandemic, those coming into the workforce now. And I think, you know, demonstrating what we can do to help them coming into the workforce, our long-term programs, our commitment to skills and development, I think is very, very important.
So Charles, what about the breakdown of the figures?
So in terms of just moving on to the outlook for our financial performance, I said in the statement, and we've said that the demand for our capabilities remains high. We expect sales for the half year to be broadly stable year on year, whereas the profit is round about 15% lower than last year. And that's primarily due to cost under recoveries in the period. And that was really, as the initial lockdown hit, the fact that people, you know, we had to adapt to that relatively quickly, but it did take some weeks before we could get people working productively again, either back in the workplace or working from home. So that caused some under recoveries. And we also had a reduction in volumes in the quite high margin commercial aviation work, which that has affected the overall performance year on year. And that's simply because people are not traveling. There is a drop in demand for aftermarket spares and repairs services into the commercial fleets. But we did say that we're returning now to full operational tempo, and therefore we expect the business performance in the second half to be much stronger than the first half because we're getting that full tempo back. Again, with the caveat of no significant COVID-19 related disruptions.
And Charles, as far as shareholders are concerned, what's been their reaction?
They were, I think, pleased to get an update. I mean, in these difficult times, our shareholders are just looking for information. And the fact that we were able to give them the information and I think give them a fairly strong steer on how we felt the first half was going to outturn and then looking into the second half, I think they were reassured by that. I've said before that we're in a strong position. We were in a strong position going into this, but we're not immune to this. And we saw that, as I said, in the first half, that 15% drop year on year in first half profits. We want to make sure that that's a quarter two effect. And as we go into quarter three and quarter four, that things do return to some degree of normality here. You know, having made the investment to adjust our workplaces and embed that into the way we work in an enduring fashion means that we are trying to build resilience so that were there to be additional waves or additional lockdowns required, that we can adapt and as far as possible work through that without having the initial shock that we had at the beginning of the lockdown of this pandemic. And in that sense, we're trying to protect ourselves for future disruptions, resulting from subsequent waves of this terrible virus.
Okay, Charles, thank you for that. And we'll be looking at the Chairman's Gold Awards next.
Our conversation.
Now, the winners of the Chairman's Gold Awards for 2019 were due to be announced at an event at the end of March, which of course sadly had to be cancelled because of the current coronavirus outbreak. Now though, after the 12 finalists presented via video conference to a global panel of judges, the winners have been announced. Charles, understandably, something of a different approach to the awards this year, but presumably still a difficult task for the judges to pick just one winner from each category.
Well, yes, Tim, we say this every year, but the Chairman's Gold Awards panel is a very, very tough job. I mean, the standard of awards to get to that level is incredibly high. And the 12 teams this year all did exceptionally well, presenting virtually to a panel of faces online. It must have been quite a daunting experience for them, but it was a very, very strong session. They navigated through that, and all the teams made a fantastic impression on the global panel of judges.
Well, the winners would have been announced in person at an event in London. Instead, BAE Systems Chairman Sir Roger Carr revealed the winners via a personal video message.
Reaching the gold stage of the Chairman's Award is an accolade in itself, and all nominees should feel incredibly proud to have come this far. As always, it's a tough competition, hard fought, rigorously judged, and the awards truly deserved. So it gives me great pleasure to announce our Gold Award winners for 2019. Starting with our Exceeding Customer Expectations category, and the winner is World Class Offset and Industry Cooperation Management, CV90, BAE Systems Hägglunds. Huge congratulations to everyone involved. Next, we turn to our Embracing Responsible Behaviour category, and the winner is EEE, Expanded Environmental Efforts, Platforms and Services. A terrific example to us all, and well done to the whole team. Our final category is Innovating for Success, and the winner is Defect Destroyer from Electronic Systems. Innovation, the lifeblood of our business, a great win. Many congratulations. And once again, well done to all the nominees.
BAE Systems Chairman Sir Roger Carr there. Now let's hear from those three teams then, giving us an insight into their award-winning work. First, in the Innovating for Success category, Defect Destroyer from Electronic Systems.
Here in Electronic Systems, overwhelmed with our data, we needed to find a way to automate some of our analysis processes, and that is precisely the struggle that the Defect Destroyer was born out of.
Last year, over 70,000 defects in the factory. So we really needed to pinpoint specific problems to drive our defects down to allow our throughput to go up. We've estimated about $3.2 billion in savings to the company.
A machine learning augmented automated scripts that can crawl through the data for us. It delivers the analytical horsepower of 4,000 full-time analysts.
Next, the winner in the Exceeding Customer Expectations category, World Class Offset and Industry Cooperation Management, CV90 from BAE Systems Hägglunds.
This upgrade program for CV90 in Norway was the largest procurement defense program for MOD.
It's very interesting and motivating for us to work with BAE Systems as a very challenging and demanding customer that they will push us even further.
Our team is very proud to exceed customer expectation, improving industrial cooperation and fulfill the offset obligation over $700 million, 5 years ahead of time.
And finally, in the Embracing Responsible Behavior category, we hear a little bit about Oyster Power. Expanded environmental efforts from platforms and services.
This is very much a team effort. We want to really do our part to help clean the environment that allows our very shipyard to operate. We were able to get people to come together on their lunch breaks and after hours to work and help install the oyster blocks. Scientists say that oysters can filter out 50 gallons of water per day, so they really do a good job filtering out things like phosphorus and nitrogen. The oysterbergs also provide habitat for over 300 other marine species that are in the river. And I think that shows our dedicated support not only to the Elizabeth River Project, but also our surrounding community.
Well, congratulations to all three of the winning teams. Charles, I know the awards ceremony is something you usually look forward to very much. I guess the winners are going to have to find a remote way of celebrating this year.
We very much hope that the recognition events can start again next year, and the winning teams are going to be invited to join the next year's gold event to celebrate their successes. And in the meantime, I sincerely hope all the teams can enjoy at least virtual celebrations with each other.
Finally then, Charles, what's coming up for you over the next few weeks?
So my focus for the next few weeks will be on completing the current round of chief executive business reviews and preparing for our half-year results announcement on 30th of July. This will be the first announcement for our new CFO, Brad Grieve, and I know he's looking forward to joining me on the next podcast to discuss our results and answer employee questions as usual.
Charles, thanks very much. Coming up on the next edition of Our Conversation, we will of course continue to keep you updated with all the latest news from around the business. And as Charles mentioned there, we'll have those half-year financial results for you. Until then, from me, Tim Smith, and Charles Woodburn, it's goodbye.
Our Conversation, back next month.